chapter 9 of Canto 7, Srimad Bhagavatam, that's Prahlad's prayers. From the very beginning, almost to the very end. Because at the very end, then Lord Nrisingadev speaks to Prahlad in response to his prayers. So we completed through text 42. And rather than doing a summary, these final verses, I think we'll be able to finish most of them, if not all of them. These are messages that Srila Prabhupada would repeat over and over and over and over and over. Those that have heard or accustomed to hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures will recognize the phrases. Maya Sukhaya civilization is one of them. Maya Sukha, false happiness. And the compassion of Prahlad, that although he speaks of the people who are involved in Maya Sukha civilization, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Advahavtu Vimudhan, these fools and rascals. So that mudha and then vimudha. So it's not very complimentary. But he has compassion for them. He sees their choices as foolish, but he has great affection and feeling and love. And he doesn't want to be delivered without them, without taking them with him. In one sense, even more compassionate than Dhruva. You know this section of the Bhagavatam when Dhruva is ready to go back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha Vimana descends. Really very interesting. He goes to approach the Vaikuntha Vimana. Death personified comes. He steps on the head of death personified. There's a whole long explanation of what that signifies. Doesn't like, forget you. He is honoring that position of death, of the service, the agent of the Lord of Death, death personified. So, Dhruva says, "Oh, I can't go back to Vaikuntha without the person who helped me get the mercy of Lord Vishnu, my mother." And the Vaikuntha agents point to his mother over there and says, "See that she has her own Vaikuntha airplane." So he doesn't want to go without his mother. And Prahlad doesn't want to go back to the spiritual world without all the vimudha personalities, all the fools and rascals who have been unfortunately misled by false happiness. And as a result, if instead of happiness, they get distress. So often quoted phrases that are cornerstone messages in Prabhupada presenting Krishna consciousness in, you know, when even the topic has nothing to do with Prahlad or Lord Nrisingadev, just describing the urgency and the necessity of taking up spiritual life. Just in contrast, The morning Bhagavatam class section, Canto 5, is Jad Bharat. And Jad Bharat speaking to Rahugana, he's doing essentially the same thing. He's giving through the section that we're reading from, the chapter, is a metaphor of a person in the forest, and the person in the forest is being harassed this way, that way, the other way with the creatures in the forest and its material existence, the expectation of happiness that comes in the form of misery. So Prabhupada didn't quote those sections, for example, so many times. He quotes the Prahlad Maharaj sections again and again. They were for those who are Prabhupada followers, they're adorable. They're iconic. They're just the phrases themselves carry so much weight and meaning from our founder Acharya to help his followers take shelter of Krishna properly. And one other thing before we begin. These are prayers. And the person who he's praying unto is the personality of Godhead. He just saved him from the hands of Hiranyakashipu. And others, all the demigods, most powerful personalities, they couldn't. So he's offering prayers. A whole series of topics were being covered. But this topic is specifically, on the one hand, condemnation of materialistic civilization, and on the other hand, great compassion for those who are being victimized by it, and the wishing for their welfare. It's part of a prayer. He's praying for their welfare. The Vaishnava of Prahlad's capacity or caliber, he's beyond sakama and nishkama. It's shuddha, beyond material desire or hankering for some spiritual attainment. He's just abundant compassion. Really clear about what the material circumstance is. He doesn't want anything to do with it for himself. He doesn't want benedictions and blessings and thises and thats, and he doesn't want any of it. And those that have it and are entangled in it, he wants their well-being. It's very special, Prahlad's, the mood. So that's what Srila Prabhupada also carried and was conveying to his followers. So here is text 43, the Maya Sukhaya civilization phrase, and it's Prahlad's compassion. Outstanding compassion is being presented. So I put in colored letters this phrase in the gold letters, Tvad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magda Chitta. That is often quoted again and again by Prabhupada. And that is that's the consciousness of a Vaishnava. It's the consciousness of Prahlad. It's the perfection of Prahlad. Prahlad is saying here, we'll see the translation, but as for myself, I don't require anything because I just absorb myself in remembrance of you. Magna chitta, mahamrita, magna chitta, and everything's nice. So, as for myself, I don't require anything. But, shoche, tato vimukta chetasa. I'm feeling a lot of concern for those who are suffering in material existence, and the material existence phrase, maya sukhaya bharam, Ud Vahato Vimudhan. So we'll see those phrases again. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I am, wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. For him, material existence is not something he's fearful of. It's not inherently a problem for him. And we know of the 9 processes of bhakti, one of them is Vishnu Smaranam, and Prahlad is the personality who achieved spiritual perfection through Vishnu Smarana. Now, how did he get this Vishnu Smarana? It's described in his prayers and then also to his friends. That's chapter 6. This is chapter 9. Chapter 6 is his teachings to his friends. He explains that how it happened that he has this Vishnu Smarana capacity. But the Vishnu Smarana capacity just like somebody was asking, is remembering the Supreme Lord also a form of service? Of course. And then there's other practical activities that go along with. This was someone asked at the university today. Is remembering Krishna, remembering the mantra, fixing the mind and the sound of the mantra, is that also service? Didn't use those words, but yes. And from that, then comes the practical activity when the mind is fixed. The practical activity then also is fixed when the mind is fixed. So all of his activities in Prahlad's life were perfect because his Vishnu Smarana capacity was perfect. However, there's other people that think that happiness is through material accumulation. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. That's that phrase. Shoche tato vimukha chetasa. I'm simply concerned with love. So he's calling them fools and rascals, but he's simply concerned with love. Sounds quite contradictory. So the contradiction is easily resolved. The behavior is foolish. The soul is not the behavior. I struggled with this as a teenager. I've shared this a few times. I felt I was a failure in terms of fulfilling instructions that I had heard from my childhood religious training. Come on up front. We're friendly. Thanks. Anyway, without all the detail, the behavior and the person are different. And I didn't understand that. And I struggled with it because there's certain instructions that says that's the keep going. Thank you very much. Having love for all living entities, loving thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you know, some people are very unlovable because their behaviors are so bad. So here's the background. There was there's a part of the New Testament that's called Sermon on the Mount. In Sermon on the Mount, Christ and his disciples went up on a mountain and they were given the opportunity to ask whatever questions they want. And one of those questions they wanted was, of all the teachings you have given us, what's the foremost teaching? You know that question. And so he said two things. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, different versions of the Bible, they edit it all the time and it keeps changing, but you know that's the one I grew up with. So the first one is okay, but the second one, I was a failure because there are lots of people I didn't love because their behavior was so horrible. I mean, specifically, I never liked bullies. Not, you know, people didn't bully me, but just when they would bully other people, it really irritated me. And I'm supposed to love them. And I couldn't do it. So I was a failure. And I didn't, like, think I'd get over it or something like that. Or I just... It's because there wasn't such a clear conception of the soul. Prahlad has a clear conception of the soul. No problem for Prahlad. So the behavior is foolish. The civilization of people that are chasing after the material happiness, it's a foolish civilization. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have love for the people who have that foolish behavior. He has. I'm simply concerned with love for them. So the material happiness is that's the goal, that's the target. That's the, you know, like dharma, artha, kama. Even for, you know, good people. Dharma, so that there's material prosperity and so that you can have happiness. And then when you actually try to traverse that path, it gets pretty complex and bewildering, and there's like noticing when we were coming from Carbondale to St. Louis, there's all these up in the air flyways, skyways, crisscrossing. Must have taken them a long time to build all that stuff. And are people happier? Prabhupada would speak like that. You should see in China, it's really cuckoo. They show pictures of it in the travel advertisements. There's this one circular thing that goes around about four times. You know, you can go up or you can go down and around, and they have things that go off this way because it's so congested. It's way up there in the air. And all it takes a little shake of the earth and the whole thing collapses. But, you know, a lot of engineering and a lot of money went into all of that complexity. And gee, if you're not from that city, you're gonna take the wrong turn, and it'll take you 3 hours to get back on track. Anyway, the complexity of the choices that we have as we move along the path of life can be very bewildering. And regardless of the one that one takes, does it really bring happiness? Now, the teaching of Bhagavad Gita and the teaching of Prahlada is the same. It doesn't bring happiness. The expectation is sukha. And instead, one gets unhappiness. It just follows. And that's the way of material existence under the modes of nature. Those who are not taking shelter of the personality of Godhead are placed under the direction of the three modes of nature. We're marginal. I've been listening to Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion series, lectures in Vrindavan in 1973. Really good. So we're marginal potency. And that means we're either influenced by the spiritual or the material potency. We're under the influence of one or the other. We're not free. We're dependent. And under those that don't take shelter of the spiritual potency or the internal potency, Krishna's direct spiritual shelter, we're under the influence of the external energy. And those that are do these things. They work very hard to motivate passion to get happiness. So Prabhupada explains, throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. Making a plan for happiness in the future. Sometimes it's called pipe dreams. I wonder if that has any unintended pun involved. Striving to make this unnatural habitat our permanent home. That we don't belong here. And yet we're trying to make it a place where it's where we belong. The result of that is we forget who we really are while we're trying to find happiness or comfort or well-being in the material world. And that's this Maya Sukhaya Bharam effort, striving, endeavoring for that material happiness. And even if you get it, the material happiness, it's all temporary, because so therefore it's not really substantial. Whatever is created eventually is destroyed, sooner or later. So there's volumes and volumes that Bhagavatam points out in this regard. The whole chapter is dedicated here. It's just a few verses, but so it's capsulized, and Prabhupada used those phrases. Then there's the life of Prahlad, or those who are in devotion to Lord Vishnu. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. This is Prabhupada in Germany. I recognize some of the German devotees. God brothers. Even if a devotee is in difficulty, it's not always nice. It's because it's the place of duality. And as we're hearing in the Bhagavatam, there are persons in this world by nature are envious. And when they find someone that's an obstacle in whatever it is that they want, they don't treat them nicely. But the devotee doesn't leave their position of remembrance of Krishna even in difficulty. I've repeated this many times, but when this is chapter 5 of Canto 7, Hiranyakashipu decides to kill his son because he is now devoted to Vishnu, and Vishnu is an avowed enemy. He's seeing friends and enemies. Now it's not just my Vishnu is an enemy, my son's an enemy because he's devoted to the enemy. So he decides to kill him. And one of the attempts to kill him was this one, toss him off a cliff. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, as Prahlad was falling off the cliff, Lord Vishnu didn't show himself right away. Like, don't worry, Prahlad, I'm here, I'm going to catch you. He was not visible. Testing Prahlad, what's he going to do? Is he going to scream? Is he going to cry? What's he going to do? And he was same as when he was on top of the hill or when he was caught by Lord Vishnu. He was fully dependent upon Lord Vishnu. Now that's pretty extreme. But that's Prahlad, because he was fixed in remembrance. This is this Vishnu Smaranam. It's not circumstance dependent. It's of the soul. That's the capacity of Prahlad. So he has no worries. Not just, you know, a conventional saying. In America we say no problem. In Australia they say no worries, man. I learned that from visiting and spending time with Australian devotees. And he doesn't want this position of his own well-being. He rejects that self-liberationist notion, and in favor instead he wants the spiritual welfare of others. That's the heart of Prahlad. Vimimuksha eko na is, I don't want liberation. What does he want? Anyatvam asya sharanam brahmato anupashe. My dear Lord and Sringadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. Mona Vrata. Monam. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, Eka. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Now, this is Prahlad Maharaj in Satya Yuga. And then there's a few yugas that are in between Satya Yuga and this one, Kali Yuga. So there's a tendency, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, where persons are so frustrated or reach the position where seeking material happiness is no longer their aspiration. They want liberation. And so they go for this one. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a series of prayers, 19, and it's known as Dushta Mana. Oh, wicked mind. Scolding his mind. Several of them, not all of them, are dealing specifically with this idea of imitating Haridas Thakur or imitating the Goswamis and engaged in solitary chanting, nirjan bhajan. Nirjan, without other people around, bhajan, just all day long chanting, 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 living in a secluded place. Now, there are Vaishnavas, there are Gaudiya Vaishnavas that have done that. One of those that did that was Lokanath. Maybe you know the story, a little biography. Lokanath and Bhugarbha, one other Vaishnav, were sent before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. He knew he was going to take sannyas. So he requested two of his close associates, please go to Vrindavan after I take sannyas. I want to go there and I want to stay with you. So please go and make some arrangements so when we come we can stay with you. We can stay together. And Lokanath was one of them. And he didn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't want to say no either. So he went to all the Vaishnavas, seeking their blessings to enter Vrindavan. Got their blessings, he went to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya didn't come. It's a long narration. Finally, he got restless, so he went back to Navadvipa, and he found that he went to Puri. He had gone from Puri to South India, went searching in South India. He came back to Puri. By the time he came back to Puri, Lord Chaitanya had gone to Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan, and then he had just left Vrindavan. Because he had love for Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, a transcendental, unrestricted love for Lord Chaitanya. Then he just broke down and wept. Lord Chaitanya appeared in a dream and told him, you just stay here and my associates will come and you can be in their company also. So he went to a place, he stayed in Vrindavan, and one of the places he stayed was very remote, that's near Janbhajan. So there's more details about his life. He was then brought to Vrindavan by other Vaishnavas. But he was happy. Now, he wasn't doing this for his own salvation or staying away from material contact because, yuck, it's too contaminating. He just was... Some people are private. Some people are very social. And private people need to be respected as being private. Some people are very social, need to be respected. So he was just happy doing what he was doing in a very remote place. It's on the very close to, I know this because from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he knows Vrindavan like the palm of his hand, not just the back of his hand. So on the road that you go to Govardhan, the road you go from the main road, Delhi Agra road, going to Varsana, off to the right, he said, that's the, down that roadway, little narrow thing, is a place where Lokanath stayed by a certain pond in a certain forest. And it was, you know, very serene, especially at that time, untouched by construction and commotion and things. Quiet, peaceful place. Krishna came to him in the form of a deity. That's another nice story. So sometimes devotees will, Vaishnavas, will do this secluded chanting. But many don't have that actual spirit or qualification even. And they try to do that for imitation purposes, to gain something, you know, followers or appreciation of being a spiritually elevated person. Somebody was sharing with me, this is about 2 weeks ago, that they had read some books. This is a kind of, you know, a newer category of devotee. They read some books where they felt some resonance with the message that says, it's basically impersonalism, that says, silence is God. It's very similar to processes of current. Meditation is of big interest today in the spiritual marketplace. And not just, you know, all kinds of people send us all kinds of ideas. And one of those ideas, like a theme of it, that goes under different names and there's different brands, but one of them is silent meditation. And in that silent meditation, you try to connect with silence. I had someone go on for some time, the sound of silence. Listen to the sound of silence. I mean, it's voidism. But, you know, they were trying to say they hear some sound in silence. Now, I hear the projector sound. But, you know, beyond that, you turn the projector off, turn the lights off, shut your senses down. So, and it's specific. It's sound of silence or just simply silence. And there they meet God. Or find out that they're God. One or the other. Or feel godliness, feel close to God. It's out there. You know. So one devotee, newer devotee, was reading, had read these books, you know, the past number of years, and they were ready to refer me to these books that were extolling the virtue of silence. It's silent meditation, but silence. So I passed on to them something that Prabhupada had said, like really strongly, like he can do, about some people say, this is spiritual. And then, you know, he said it's not spiritual. Negation of the complexities of life is at the topmost stage. At the topmost stage, cessation of material existence is nirvana. It's not what the soul is yet, or what to speak of what the soul does for real happiness. Remember one lecture Prabhupada was saying, supposing somebody bangs their head against the wall and it hurts, and you keep doing it and doing it, and then finally they stop. Brahman. Cessation of material suffering and material misery. That's not positive happiness. So that's, I'm sharing this because we're going to, when you, as you interact with people that are not from this Vaishnava tradition, there's all kinds of things out there that are growing in popularity, and it's just on the internet, and it's at, you know, in books and da 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 da. Teachers and teachings. While we're, you know, trying to get ourselves together to become nice devotees, there's lots of impersonalism growing. It's like watching the neighborhood around the temple. There's like all these big buildings coming up all over the place. And then there's another one coming, and there's another one coming, and there's another one coming. So, well, we're just sitting there being nice Hare Krishna devotees, or people doing their Maya Sukhaya Bharam program all around us. And it's increasing the property value, but it's not, you know, they're not finding happiness. Be great opportunities for book distribution. So, at Bhaktisiddhanta's time, there were a group of people, not only in Vrindavan, but certainly in Vrindavan and elsewhere, that would go to Vrindavan or go to a secluded place somewhere and imitate Haridas Thakur, or imitate Prabodhananda Saraswati, or imitate great personalities. So, Dushtamana, oh wicked mind. Vasudev Datta, Prabhupada speaks of in this way, Lord Chaitanya, actually, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. Let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. That's pretty high. Prabhupada was speaking about himself. I was in Vrindavan. I could have done, just stayed in Vrindavan. And then we wouldn't be here together in Vrindavan hearing nectar devotion. But I was instructed by my spiritual master to take this message and give to others. And one takes the message and gives to others, one is benefited and the others are benefited. The compassionate person is giving benefit to others, but they're also gaining benefit themselves because it makes them dear to Lord Chaitanya. You become dear to Lord Chaitanya, you become dear to Krishna. What other qualification do we have to become dear to Krishna, to have the capacity to please the personality of Godhead by pleasing Lord Chaitanya? So, this is Vasudev Datta requesting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver everybody, similar to Prahlad. Prabhupada writes, the secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and making endless material adjustments, nor by the jnanis trying to become one with the Supreme. That's not the life of a devotee. The life of a devotee is, this is taken directly from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta. Ashanta, that one becomes not peaceful if one is disturbed by these desires of bhukti or mukti or siddhi. At length, again and again, this is another one of Prabhupada's favorite verses. Those that want sense enjoyment, those that want liberation, those that want siddhis, they're different desires, material desires. So, only one who wants Krishna's pleasure, wants to serve with love the happiness of Krishna, that's Krishna Bhakta, Nishkam. And that such a person can become peaceful. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore, they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada writes, the devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. So, Prabhupada left that peaceful situation. Who can only imagine living in the courtyard of Radha Damodar, writing books on bhakti, living very peacefully. And he left to do this. Stand in line for security. Anyway, I'm not after respectful compliments by the public, but I am concerned more about my disciples. I want to see them quite able to preach this sublime doctrine of Krishna consciousness, and therefore I wish to stay. Otherwise, I'm not attracted for any place, either hell or heaven. That's 1968, Prabhupada in a letter to Brahmananda. And this is, you know, after his heart attacks on the boat, and then after he had come and spent some time in America, another heart attack, and he's in this hospital in the New Jersey shore. He risked his life. But he couldn't stop. I was told that the physician, after that heart attack and he went to the Jersey Shore, said, you gotta do some exercise. You know, we've all heard that one. You gotta do some exercise. So from that time forward is when Prabhupada started his morning walk. The 6 o'clock in the morning walk. And then 6 to 7, greeting the deities, and then Guru Puja and class. Every day. So, why did he do all those things? Risking his life things. It's the same as Prahlad. Or, either way you want to look at it. They're the same. Prahlad like him, he's like Prahlad. And he encouraged not the although he went to the city for giving Krishna consciousness, he also encouraged, through that preaching mission, to bring members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. Now that was 1966. Just a little sharing. This is our last slide, by the way. This is a photo of Gita Nagari. Maybe you recognize the block house in the back. And moo, the cows. Devamrita Maharaj recently sent me an article from Princeton Theological Seminary. So, you know, the stamp of Princeton University. Theological seminary, and one of the things that they, is an article, but they're promoting this, saying for the theological seminary, or for, you know, the seminary students, to help the seminary students internalize the biblical message, someone from their seminary had the vision to buy X number of acres of land, and then they decided that they wanted to include as part of the seminary training that they take them to go live with the land to help them realize God and the message of the Bible. Meaning, the more the Bharam, Mayasukaya Bharam civilization, it's taken people so far away from God, just so artificial and unnatural, so disconnected, in part by design, but certainly by default, by consequence. So to help Princeton Theological Seminary do its work with the seminary students, part of the time dedicated to living, not just at a retreat center, living agrarian life. I don't know whether they have them behind plows or whatever the, you know, the activities are, but in that atmosphere, the agrarian civilization preceded the industrial civilization. In that in agrarian civilization, the sense of "in God we trust" in America, for sure. And all kinds of people came from, you know, from all kinds of places, particularly from Europe during a long stretch of time. And anyway, there's names of towns and names of streets and names of this and that, because those people came to have some land where they can live off the land. It helps God realization, is the point here. Prabhupada recognized it. So he wanted to showcase it as part of the mission for the people in the city. Dev Amrita Maharaj calls it the rural-urban connection, or urban-rural connection. A lot to say on that topic. So, two verses, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. Compassion. Lots of clarity about the unfortunate circumstance of people that have lost their God consciousness and are searching for happiness in the complicated civilization of materialism, not finding happiness. The compassion wishing to give that happiness to them. Not wanting to go off and run away from the madness of materialistic civilization, but remembrance of Krishna and giving that opportunity of remembering Krishna to others. It's a perfect fit for Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Prahlad's prayers. Perfect fit. So any discussion on this? Yes.
Pretty much you spoke about Dhru Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj in the beginning. So whereas Dhru Maharaj was meditating in the forest for his self-realization, that Prahlad Maharaj is in the town giving out. How does Krishna see both of them?
He loves them.
Well, taking one step down, one is trying to stay in the city and trying to reach out, but yet is not making that much realization or taking rest, or he's unable to make the journey out as Krishna sees.
Same answer. I mean, yetam mam prapadyante tang sadaiva bhajamyaham. That's how Krishna sees. Not where we live. Greater or lesser affection from Krishna. It's our regard for Krishna. Gaurakishore Das Babaji refused to go to that hell called Calcutta because he was going blind, and he was being encouraged to go get proper medical care. He refused. At the same time, he and Bhaktivinoda both instructed Bhaktisiddhanta to go and preach. So the initial place was Calcutta, the hell of Calcutta. So, even from the same person, he wouldn't go, but he's not like pushing his disciple off a cliff into hell. They're preaching. So, different situations. What's important is our regard for Krishna. Yeah.
Where would we get the prayers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Justamana?
I'll send them to you. And then you can forward them to others if you like. I was thinking of reading from them this evening. But I thought I'll just make reference to it. If somebody wants, I have them. So, it's only 19, not really long. And it has the word for word Sanskrit or Bengali, kind of like Sanskritized Bengali. Hi, Bengali. What do I know about Bengali? But I wanted some sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita translated, and somebody said it's very difficult because it's so high. This is like a Bengali devotee who is well educated. It's very high. Anything else? Yes?
One of the last slides said simpler and natural way of life for God realization. And at the same time, Prabhupada also mentioned that the pleasure of devotees is not sitting secluded and chanting in nirjana. They go out to cities
and spread
the Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So there's a contradiction kind of
here. No. It's for setting an example for a simple and natural life. So it's part of the mission. The urban-rural connection is part of the mission. To show people that are in the cities, here's a simple and natural way of life. After all, the people in the city are dependent upon the rural production. Urban planners, I've been told, I'm not an urban planner. Urban planners are very concerned about the sprawling of suburbs, that they want to preserve, around big cities in particular, some agricultural land. So they give them some concessions. If they commit, they will not sell the land for anything other than agricultural purposes. They will not use it, and they will not sell it to developers. You know, buy it at this amount and sell it at that amount to a developer who will then come along and not use it for agriculture. Because they need the agriculture for the urban. So that's just, you know, material necessity. What to speak of a way of life. A way of life that's close to God. Now, many people that grew up in cities, they don't want to go to the country and become close to God. They get too restless. They can't do it. But it's something that there is a growing interest. I'll go there a little bit. Again, this is from Devamrita Maharaj, but he has arranged through, or his, the persons who are assisting him, have arranged with multiple universities. The university will pay to have students go to Gita Nagari, go to a farm, and spend their holiday, vacation time, doing farm work. The students pay some modest amount and the university pays the rest amount so they can go there and do some farm work. Because it's cool. It's practical. It's getting back to the land. You know, so some people really, it's not just a slogan on a package that's selling something, that's a brand name, Back to the Land. By the way. So there's a whole movement in America amongst young people and amongst intellectual people, Back to the Land. Just like the whole thing with green. you know, there's people that are really committed to it because it's the right way to live. And it's not, you know, it's a trend, it's a growing phenomena. At one university, just as another piece of rice in the pot, I was going to one school where they had just opened a club, and the person who was the club president and did the MC work said, you know, before we, this is our first class in the semester, it was the fall semester. I want to share something. I did a whole weekend of gardening. It was great. We have gardening. Okay, now the guest speaker. So, you know, young people, it's cool. Some people, anyways. Even older people, it's cool. So, but it's not a cut. So it's there. But why that? Because it's natural living, and it's one of the platforms that Prabhupada, simple living, high thinking. Not that other one of the complicated maze of how do you, so it's simple living, high thinking. It was a platform of his Krishna consciousness movement. And it's not a contradiction. So in the cities, to tell people, here's a more peaceful, natural way. That's the connection. Besides the necessity of you have to have food, so you need some crop production. And that doesn't happen in the city. Although they have, some places they have roof gardens. Whole Foods has a whole building in New York City. And up on the roof is a garden with greenhouse, and they grow stuff year-round. Organic roof gardens. So, your question specifically, is it a contradiction? It's not. The goal is Krishna consciousness, and there are different ways of pursuing and expanding Krishna consciousness, including through the way of simple living, high thinking. And some people, that's what they want. So it's to provide that, the model. Here's simple living, high thinking model. Come and experience it. Yes.
Yesterday's class, when we were talking about the three modes of material nature, and then the highest of them is the mode of goodness, and one of the prime qualities you spoke about was the tolerance, the quality of tolerance.
Yes.
I was like disturbed today too much. I was recollecting like where we stand. It's a superlative term, like how we perceive the tolerance. Like it could be mild, moderate, but then the more we try to tolerate, as we are in this material world, people around us take it as a advantage. They see you as a weaker person. Like whatever being delivered, like this person can tolerate. So that kind of disturbs us. Even Mother Earth, I mean, she couldn't tolerate. At a certain point, she seeks Lord's protection because the earth is overburdened with. This is a quality for mode of goodness. We are trying to surpass this quality.
Yes.
Right? I mean, even if we fail at this level, I mean, we are nowhere closer to attaining. So please help me with.
Well, you just threw like five things, and it's hard to catch all five. But I'll try, one by one, or a few of them. And specifically, people may see you as being weak if you're tolerant. Being tolerant doesn't mean say nothing, do nothing, be pacifist, have people step on your head. It doesn't mean that. It means you don't get in this reactive mode because you're intolerant. You learn to tolerate. Now, when you learn to tolerate, the mode of goodness tolerance is, from that mode of goodness tolerance, you can then go into transcendental mode, which is, in this situation, what's the best way to be of service to Krishna? I'll give a practical example, Prabhupada's example. In Mayapur, the Mayapur property was purchased, well, it's largely a Muslim area. And when we established a temple, there were deities. And some of the local people, they thought the deities were made of gold. Particularly Radharani looked golden. So one evening, in the dead of night, they broke in and stole Radha and Krishna from the altar. The devotees woke up in the midst of that, and they went chasing after them. One of the devotees, Bhakti Raghava Swami, has only half of one of his legs because he got shot with a shotgun and had to amputate his leg as he was running after the dacoits with the deity. And I've heard other stories of the devotees that were involved in that. So what Prabhupada said, get shotguns and in the dead of night fire into the air. Then the dacoits will understand you're armed and they can't come and try to steal again. You tolerate, but you don't. So another example is Narada and the cobra. You know that one? So show your hooves, but don't bite. So when it's appropriate, not in all circumstances, because that was pretty extreme. They came, stole the deity. And some devotees got chopped with choppers. Because that's part of what they had. Besides guns, they had whatever you call those things. Things you cut the rice with.
Sickle.
Sickle, yeah. That's not the sole response. The idea is, what's the best thing to do to serve Krishna? So, tolerate doesn't mean do nothing. Tolerate means you tolerate, just like it's cold. It doesn't mean just don't turn the heat on. But if it's cold, it's cold. You just dress more warmly. And if it's hot, you dress differently because it's hot. So we respond to what the circumstance is. But it's not determining our happiness or distress. And if people want to take advantage, one of the things that I've learned is others will come to your defense. I've had this happen 3 times without the long story. Some harassing Christian fellow came and was harassing me because I was a Hare Krishna person. In all 3 cases, Christians came and got on the case of that person. I didn't have to do it myself. They said, this isn't Christian, and they gathered around him and, you know, chased him away. You're misrepresenting Christ. Go read the Bible. And he was trying to save me. And just like shouting and yelling and stuff. So, don't be in a reactive mode if something is coming as you're walking along the path of life and somebody is whatever they are. The first place is to go to the place of goodness. You're in this reflective space and what's best. If you need to act, you can act, but act in the mood of service, not in the mood, not in a stimulus response thing. You tolerate. And place your, so if you withdraw from the temporary, you place your consciousness or your attention on the eternal. It's not this, it's instead this. Bring your consciousness to Krishna. And what's appropriate for pleasing Krishna and serving Krishna. And there's strength in that. It's a choice. And there's strength in knowing that you have a choice and making some choice. Just going to tolerate. Because there's a higher purpose for me. This is another thing about tolerance. There's a higher purpose in my life than getting, you know, than trying to neutralize this harshness or exploitative nature of somebody in the workplace or whatever's going on. There's a higher purpose in my life. I'm going to pursue that. There's strength. And people will see. They can't disturb you. You're just undisturbable. You're unflappable. I'll give one other example that's coming to mind. Nathji was an industrialist. He's now deceased, but he became Prabhupada's disciple. He is interviewed saying, as a business person, one of the things that business persons do is they want to see what another person's weakness is. So having been disposed like that and trained like that, when I met Prabhupada, I wanted to see where his weakness was. And there was no weakness. He didn't elaborate the different ways that he tested, but he wasn't greedy, he wasn't proud, he wasn't, you know, wanting money from that, because everybody wants money from a wealthy person. He had no interest in that. What does he want? Where's his weakness? He just wanted to give Krishna. So he surrendered to him. So he was, in one sense, tolerating the test. Prabhupada knew. He was also previously a businessman. He knew what was going on. Wasn't moved. It's strength. Mode of goodness has its strength. And there are people who see, you know, here's a weak person. I'd rather have brahminical strength than the other kind. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. Anybody says he just like, you know, rah, rah, rah. He insults everybody, and anybody says then to him that he says all these terrible things. He's like, he's an animal. So there's much more strength. That's an animal strength. Much more strength than the strength of the Lord of Goodness. It's impenetrable. They can't take advantage of... Anyway. Something else? Yeah.
Maharaj, today and yesterday you were mentioning a point like silence is not God. I'm so confused
about that. Did I say that yesterday also?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, like, of secret things, I am silence.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That's what you're asking. What does it mean?
Like, is that a different type of
silence? Of course it is. It's just like, you know, Nirakar. He has no material form. Silence means, you know, Mona means don't speak nonsense. Real speaking begins when you speak Krishna consciousness. The gentleman that asked the question about those who are in the lower modes of nature, is it possible for them to have love of God? The whole Sunday lecture is going to be on that topic. I want to go further with that. Okay. So somebody that knows him, ask him to be there. I want him to like ask challenging questions because he's good at it. Because I want to turn the topic. And the answer is going to have something to do like this. In short, love of God is pure. And that's the mature stage. And then there's the immature stage. And then there's the covered stage. But anyway, we'll go through it. It's of the soul. It's already there. It's not that only souls who are on the topmost stage are souls. The soul, it has love of God. Nityasiddha Krishna Prema. It's already there. It's of the soul.